Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So both Tom and Molly Martins have entered into a special pre-release phase of their sentences, which will see them leave prison within the next 60 days. They're both in prison in North Carolina for the voluntary manslaughter of the Limerick man Jason Corbett in August of 2015. Ralph Regal, Southern correspondent with the Irish Independent, has been covering this case in great detail, and Ralph is on the line now. So Ralph, they both, Tom and Molly Martins, they entered into this plea bargain deal last November. Will you tell us about that deal and what it means?
Yeah, essentially what happened, Claire, was of course Tom and Molly were convicted of second degree murder back in August 2017. Now, they immediately challenged that conviction, and their appeal went first to the Court of Appeal in North Carolina, and then it went to the North Carolina Supreme Court. And the North Carolina Supreme Court quashed their conviction and effectively ordered a retrial. And then in a major shock last September, the family here in Ireland were notified that a plea bargain agreement had been reached, whereby Tom and Molly Martins would, in Tom's case, he pleaded to a voluntary manslaughter. In Molly's case, she did not enter a plea, but that was taken as effectively a guilty plea to voluntary manslaughter. And in a sentencing hearing last October and November, Judge David Hall heard the outline details of the case on an agreed basis between the prosecution and the defence. That meant that the prosecution only offered evidence that was in agreement with the defence on the overall circumstances of the voluntary manslaughter, and they were sentenced. And essentially that brings us to today. Tom and Molly had served just over 3.5 years in prison before their second degree murder convictions were quashed. And Judge Hall last November imposed a further 7 months on the father and daughter.
Okay, so now we're into the stage where that sentence is coming to an end, and it's your understanding that the US-based victim support association or groups have been in touch with the Corbett family in Ireland.
They have, and essentially this is a group that works with the North Carolina Department of Corrections to inform the families of victims of violent crimes in terms of the projected release date of offenders and when the offenders are actually released. In some cases, they also provide support such as counselling or whatever. In this particular case, the family in Limerick were notified that Tom and Molly were entering the final phase of their custody, and that it was projected that both would be released on June the 6th next. And again, that's an interesting one in that originally the judge had said that they would serve 7 months. There was a major controversy last December when it suddenly emerged that they were going to be released after less than 4 to 5 weeks in custody. It was clarified that that early release date of December was calculated in error by the Central Registry's office, which is based in Raleigh, the state capital in North Carolina. And under a revised release date, the family were informed that Tom and Molly would be released on June the 27th. And even that was revised last February. It was confirmed that the authorities had recalculated the amount of time that Tom and Molly had spent in custody, and they were being given credit for an extra 3 weeks, which brought their release date from June the 27th back to June the 6th.
Okay, so that's the date now that we are expecting they will be released, is it?
It is indeed, Claire, and what's after happening is that they will now be liaising with the various post-release prison programs. Now, under the terms of their release, they will have to remain under the supervision of the parole board for a full 12 months. And because both are convicted offenders, at this point, they will not be allowed to live together. Under North Carolina regulations, convicted offenders, particularly offenders convicted of violent crimes, are not allowed to share the same address amid the risk of potential reoffending. So in this particular case, they will have to live at separate addresses. They will have to liaise with the parole board, and obviously they will have to be of good behaviour.
So what will the family hear, the Corbett family hear? What else are they going to hear about this, about the release date? Will they be given advance notice, yes, it is the 6th of June, or it's been delayed, or what sort of involvement do they have in any of this?
Very little, Claire, and that's the sad part of it. I mean, it really has been a very, very tough couple of years for the family, really since the Court of Appeal upheld the challenge by Tom and Molly Martins to their second-degree murder convictions. The release dates have been changed, as we outlined there. And in this particular case, all that has happened is that the victim support associations in North Carolina have informed the family that Tom and Molly are now in the final phases of their custody and that it's projected that they will be released on June the 6th next. And all that will happen then is that they will be notified when the father and daughter are formally released from custody, and that will be it.
Okay, so and going back to what happened when there was a miscalculation around the amount of time left to serve by Tom and Molly Martins, was there any sort of an apology to the Corbett family? Because people might remember the shock that they experienced at that time, you know, and you use the word trauma, and this has been going on since 2015. So have they heard formally from the North Carolina Correctional Department over any of that?
What they got, Claire, was an explanation of the mistake and how it came about, but they didn't actually receive a formal apology. And I think trauma is a very, very apt word in this case, because really what the family, I mean, the family have acted throughout with incredible courage and dignity. I mean, they really have suffered a major series of blows. They, you know, Tracy Corbett Lynch, who, of course, is Jason's sister and has very much spearheaded the fight for justice on behalf of the Limerick family. She put it quite well at one point when she said that the family had put their faith in the justice system in the US and in North Carolina. And many friends and supporters of the family feel that, unfortunately, that faith has not been reciprocated, on the basis that, first of all, the plea bargain deal was entered into, and that was entered into without the knowledge of the family. Second of all, it was agreed that during the sentencing hearing, only information that was agreed with the defence would be put before the judge. So significant elements of the evidence that the family felt were hugely important in terms of setting out the circumstances in which this 39-year-old Irish widower met his death. And again, I'm conscious of the time in the day, Claire, and I know that there probably are some young ears listening to the programme, but just to point out that Mr. Corbett, he 39-year-old widower, father of two, his two children were in the property at Panther Creek Court on the night he met his death. And of course, he was beaten to death with a metal baseball bat and a concrete paving slab. Now, he suffered at least 12 to 13 blows to his skull. The damage to his skull was such that a pathologist, Dr. Craig Nelson, couldn't even count the precise number of blows that were inflicted. And yet, Tom and Molly Martins walked away without a scratch, without a cut. And notably, Judge David Hall, in imposing his sentence last November, he noted that the father and daughter, their clothing wasn't torn, the elastic wasn't stretched, despite the fact that both had claimed that they acted in self-defense and that they were involved literally in a struggle for their lives. Molly Martins was wearing a fine filigree bracelet, and even that bracelet wasn't damaged in what she had claimed was a fight for survival.
And people will remember back to November at the voluntary manslaughter hearing, Ralph, when we had those really emotional statements. There were emotional pleas, really, for heavy sentences for Tom and Molly Martins from Jack and Sarah, from Jason's children at that time. And I know you pointed out the flaws as the family perceived them around that hearing. But in that case, they did have their voices heard.
Oh, very much so, and quite eloquently heard as well, Claire. I mean, it was astonishing to be in court in Lexington that day. And I mean, it was incredibly emotional. You had Jack and Sarah, of course, who were both in the property that night. They were asleep in an upstairs bedroom. And these are two children that have lived for more than half their lives under the shadow of the death of their father and the various judicial proceedings in the United States. Both children, as well as other members of the Corbett family, had called for heavy sentences. And of course, people will probably most remember the incredible commentary from both Jack and Sarah in terms of the impact of this crime on their lives. And I suppose probably even more importantly, their fear that Molly Martins in particular would be capable of this type of action in future. Jack basically urge the court not to be fooled by the visage of Molly Martins and that a monster lurked beneath. And Sarah basically warned that she didn't want any other family to endure the pain, suffering and loss that they had suffered at the hands of Tom and Molly Martins. And of course, Tom, let's not forget, was a retired FBI agent, a former counterintelligence operative with the US Department of Energy, and a man who, as the judge commented, and when he imposed the extra prison sentences, was a person who should have known, like any rookie cop in America would know, that in a circumstances of a threat or a risk, the first thing you do is call for backup. And of course, that is not what Tom Martins did that night.
Ralph, thank you very much for taking us through it all. Ralph Regal there, Southern correspondent with the Irish Independent. I just want to go back to our conversation with Liz O'Donnell at the start of the programme, chairperson of the Road Safety Authority. Lots of messages coming in on this. Tom in Dunleary says, on the speed limits, they're like songs written on paper. They're meaningless unless sung. Speed limits are useless unless they are enforced. Mary says drivers have to take responsibility for their own actions. The deterrent should not be getting caught by the Gardaí. Do they never think of the consequences of their bad driving, that they might kill someone? Liam, I think we should have fines relative to one's salary or means rather than fixed fines. Why are we making things complicated? It's tried and tested in Finland. And another, I totally agree with what Liz O'Donnell says about mobile phone use and speeding. I live on a rural road which supposedly has an 80k speed limit. We're near a motorway exit. A lot of drivers don't seem to realise that they need to reduce their speed from 120 to 80. 51551 for your messages. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, will reveal his picks for junior minister jobs today. We'll have the latest on that. The new Amy Winehouse film is in cinemas at the weekend. So today we're going to take a look at the best and indeed the worst biopics on offer. And Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven will take a closer look at frustration and why it might be one of the most overlooked and yet important emotions.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.